This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone, and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with.
Welcome to episode 134 of Swords and Virtual Reality. Welcome to episode 134 of GamesAtWork.biz. I am Phaedra Boinodiris, and I am joined here by my co-host Michael Rowe, and our show is titled Swords and Virtual Reality, because we wanted you to click on it. Welcome to the show, Michael. It's been a while.
It has. Thank you, Phaedra. It is so exciting to have you back. I guess you've been world traveling and generating games all over the world and just having a ball.
It's conference season. It's March and there's pollen in the air, which means, you know, the GDC, South by Southwest, Interconnect, East Coast Games Conference, Switchpoint, all of these things are landing now. So lots happening and lots of great, great stories and good things to see.
Do any of them throw in a bamboo steamer?
If only. Could use another bamboo steamer. What about you? How have things been for you? And what's top of your mind today?
Top of my mind today? Let me see. NASA, Minecraft, killer robots.
Yeah.
New games. But there's all kinds of fun stuff, and I'd love to hear some of the things going on. And you mentioned a whole bunch of conferences. A couple of them have already happened: GDC, Interconnect, South by Southwest. But a couple still to come. So we're right in the middle of that. So what's of the ones left? What's your favorite? What's going on?
Oh my goodness! We've got East Coast Games Conference, which will be at the Raleigh Civic Center in mid-April, and there's going to be a fantastic serious games track there with a lot of great talks. Just to give you a highlight, Professor Jennifer Elliott is going to be giving a talk about the kinds of content that would be well matched for VR, and just talking about the future of VR and where is this space moving to, giving some great use cases. There's really going to be some wonderful, wonderful talks and subject matter experts. Our friend Dr. Chris Hazard is going to be there, and he's going to be talking about his latest efforts and what he's doing with his most recent gaming engines. So cool. All good stuff. And then after that, directly after that, there's a conference called Switchpoint, which is in Saxapahaw. And it's
I'm sorry. The name of that town just makes me laugh every time I hear it.
I know, right? Tiny Mill River town. Tiny. Where 2 days out of the year, it's flooded with black stretch limos with DC plates. Because it's folks from FEMA and USAID and the Department of Defense and Red Cross. And I believe Al Gore has gone and keynoted there. It's just wonderful. It's one of my favorite conferences. Again, focus on humanitarian design, but they cover topics like global health and entrepreneurship, innovation, serious games, citizen engagement, which was the focus of President Obama's keynote at South by Southwest this year, technology for citizen engagement. Just, it's really a great show. If you can make it, it's well worth it.
Very cool. Very cool. And so if you think about... If you think about that, so you were at South by Southwest, right?
Yes.
And what was the coolest game-related thing that you saw there?
Oh, my goodness. I wasn't there for very long, unfortunately, but I was there
I was there for
something very cool. It was the Ed Sim Challenge Meetup. And what this
egg
is,
sandwich salad, what?
Ed Sim, as in educational simulation.
Oh, education.
Yes. So the U.S. Department of Ed, what they have done is they've put out a challenge that is going to span over many, many months. And the result of this is that the applications which will be developed will be serious games that are formally integrated into the public school system. And so they're creating a whole framework, a whole platform for the business models, for how these games get plugged in, the platforms with regards to the open APIs, the instructions. I mean, it's wonderful to see this kind of effort. So this is going to be kicking up in earnest. And if this is at all of interest to any of our listeners, go to www.edsimchallenge.com and it'll be in our show notes too.
Oh, every one of these conferences is going to be in our show notes. ECG, Switchpoint, EdSim, you name it. Now, the ones that I already passed, I'm not going to put there.
Understood.
So very cool, very cool. And so this EdSim challenge, how long is this thing running for?
Many months. Actually, I believe it's a span of about 6 months.
Wow.
So there's, mentorship, there's themes. It's a big deal. And I'm really happy to see the Department of Ed doing this. Hopefully, with our new president, this will continue these kinds of efforts, right? Nudge, nudge.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Whoever that may be.
Whoever that may be, because education is the future.
Agreed. but we were showing off medical Minecraft there as part of the EdSim challenge meetup. And we had the teacher David Conover, who's the teacher over at Connolly High School that worked with his class of disadvantaged teens, who worked with us on the recipe to integrate cognitive computing into that instance of Minecraft. And we're actually going to invite him on the show in a couple of weeks. So stay tuned.
Very cool. Yeah, I can't wait for that. It'll be fun to really dive a little bit deeper on that. And we'll just to whet people's appetite, we'll have a link into the medical Minecraft work link. And I can't find the link. I thought I had a link.
Oh, I've got links. I'll send you links.
Links in the Slack. We'll Slack those links. But speaking of Minecraft, I saw a couple of weeks ago, and I can't believe it's been so long since we've done a show, but Microsoft is actually using Minecraft to train their AI. And this is really interesting because there's been so much excitement over the years around Minecraft and, open world simulations and the ability to actually use it as a platform for development and other things, but to actually take the the platform as a open source AI simulation and use it to build and learn, I thought was a really, really interesting use case for this. What do you think? Have you heard much about this one? Because, this sounds really cool.
I have not, but we have been doing a lot of interesting research with regards to using casual games to train AI. So thrilled to see Microsoft doing it as well. And it looked like it was specific to climbing of hills, right?
Yeah. I think that was the basis. And it's funny because when I saw this one, I also was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about the robot challenge where you have robots that self learn how to climb hills, and it's something that's been around for a very long time as a simulation. Used to be a screensaver that would actually run this, and I found this this app out on the iOS App Store, and I'm sure they've got a similar one on other platforms too, called Breve Walker, which you structure a robot that then just goes into a simulation until it learns how to walk. And so it's fully self-learning. Right now I've been playing this for a while. I think I've got about 40 minutes worth of simulation on it. I'm using the same robot and just seeing if it'll eventually get there. You can buy an upgrade that allows you to modify the robot. And it started off just basically kind of flopping around, and now it's up to about walking 40 meters in the allotted 30 seconds of the simulation. So it's interesting how it takes its various limbs over time and just learns through accident. Mm. Which if you've read The Origin of the Species, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like fast-paced evolution.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Really
yeah.
cool.
And it goes all the way back to, I think, the very first game I ever had, and I had to type in the source code, on my Timex Sinclair, I think it was called 1000 or 2000, was the Game of Life, if you remember that, where you have very simple rules, right? And you put a couple little dots on the screen, and then the dots multiply and die off and grow and et cetera, based off of these very simple rules. You try to see how full the screen can be until it gets into a neutral state, where as many live and die each generation.
Evolution.
Jace, the Game of Life, which is very different than the Game of Life that my sister used to like play, the board game.
The board game, yeah.
where you spin the dial and you move your car around.
Speaking of the Game of Life and evolution, so NASA actually has an upcoming hackathon. It's called the NASA Space Apps Hackathon. And they haven't released the themes of the hackathon yet. But word on the street is that they're interested in a whole bunch of different things, including apps to facilitate colonization of space and optimization of the eco-habitats on Mars, mental wellness of the astronauts on deep space missions, all kinds of cool stuff. So I wanted to make sure that it was on our listeners' radars. It goes from April 22nd through the 24th.
Well, it's funny you mention that. In case you haven't seen this yet, but I believe they must have gotten the idea for that from the latest episode of The Simpsons.
They must have.
Did you see that? The Margin Chronicles?
No.
It was awesome. It was awesome. basically, it's the colonization of Mars, and Lisa decides that she wants to sign up for this program. It's a private corporation, and what was it, last summer or was it the year before, where they had a contest for people to sign up?
Mars One.
Yeah.
The reality TV show.
And this is their take on it.
Oh God! Oh, I gotta see this. This sounds funny.
It was pretty funny. So I'll have a link to an article at space.com about it. I thought it was hilarious. Very cool. Yeah. If we have a good link for the NASA challenge, we'll throw that in here too.
We do. I'll send it that way.
So earlier this week, our day job actually posted a thing on Sword Art Online virtual reality MMO work that's going on.
Yes, this was really interesting, where this MMO that is very popular in East Asia is being powered using an Oculus Rift. And what was done was the 3D scanning of the players to determine body type and characteristics, and then having that body digitized into the game, into the MMO. So it's interesting. It's an interesting take. And apparently the way that you play within the game is without any controllers at all. It's just through your body movements.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. And, you know, I was looking forward to being a samurai. but yeah, this looks really, really neat.
I was thinking just sort of like taping some small pillows to my arms,
sumo.
Upper arms, upper, right?
So just on the upper arms, so you can be buff. Yeah.
I need to be more buff, man, and have to do the 3D scanner, or else I'll be too wimpy in the games.
Well, it's interesting, you know, speaking of virtual reality, we mentioned earlier that GDC just happened, and VR was everywhere at GDC from what I was seeing online. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to go. You had Sony actually coming out. I think they announced this week for $599. Was that the amount? No, it was $399. $399, a VR component for your Sony PlayStation.
Yeah, and they also listed a bunch of games that they're going to be launching that with, which sounds really interesting. You know, like Star Wars Battlefront and having to be the VR.
Have you played
experience.
That much?
I played the initial, but not the VR version. So I'm just curious what it's going to be like
Yeah, I've been playing the initial
The Wizard. I've never heard of the, but it sounds interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know many of the games. I know the ones that I know. Of course, that's kind of a stupid statement. but I don't know the ones I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting because I've been playing a little bit of Star Wars Battlefront again recently. I'm not a big first person shooter, you know, PvP type player. So I play the solo missions and stuff, but they keep adding more content in it, and it's really getting kind of fun. It's really getting kind of fun. Except it's fun in a grinding sort of way where you play the same thing just in a different environment and killing different people and get different weapons. Which is kind of exactly what I don't like about almost all PvP type environments. Because they do get boring after a while.
These are funny though. Gary the Gull. You think that's a seagull? I'm just curious. I have to look these up and see what they're like. It sounds like fun.
Yes, yes. So lots of there was another tweet that I did, gosh, a couple of weeks ago as a potential show idea that I just want to mention. As people who know the show, I'm a huge fan of Air and Space and the National Air and Space Museum unleashed a new set of things called STEM in 30, where they actually have interactive classroom activities and webcasts to teach children STEM, so science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, tied to content in the museum. And there's a game app that is also attached to this that allows you to kind of extend that learning. And you can go back, and we'll have a show link in, obviously, on this too, to go back to some of the prior activities that they've had. So you can go back in history and see some of the other lessons that are going on. But I thought this was really, really cool. Great way to do outreach and get people, especially kids. It's designed for, you know, K-12, engaged in STEM and tied into some of the excitement going on at the Air and Space Museum. And another interesting thing that I've done recently, I've been playing around with my Raspberry Pi, and I got a software-defined radio. If you're not familiar with this, it's a USB stick with fully software-controllable radio capabilities in it. And I'm now currently able to track when the International Space Station flies over and monitor their broadcasts. As well as I'm doing some stuff with tracking flights. As planes fly by, it will read their transponders and tell me, you know, this flight is flying over, its heading is this way, it's going to this airport, it's this type of plane. And it's really, really cool.
So it's all open data.
Yep. And because the SDR can interpret the values, because, you know, the planes have to have a transponder, it's interesting when you start seeing these other planes that fly over it, and you can't see them, and they're transponding, and it doesn't have much information.
I wonder if this kind of data, this open data, would be of interest to people doing the NASA space hack. What do you think? The hackathon. That might be worthwhile.
Yeah. So I'll put a link into the show notes around what's called PiAware, which is the way to build your own ground station for tracking the planes.
Okay.
It's really cool, and it's less than $100 for the whole configuration between the Raspberry Pi, you know, the case that you put in it. Right. I mean, every piece of this is, each individual piece is, you know, $30 or less.
Interesting. All the planes without any data associated with them. Very interesting.
Yeah. Very, very cool. And with the Flight Aware program, you actually can look at the planes flying by without actually setting up your own, or you can contribute your data. Hmm. So very, very cool. Very, very cool. So that kind of ties NASA and space, right? The International Space Station flying over.
It does. Yeah.
All open data out there. So Phaedra, I know we've got time for a short show today, and there was just so many shows and stuff going on. Have you had time to play anything?
Oh my God. Lately, my son, who's again very young, has discovered a bunch of old board games. So I've been like delving into my youth and replaying things like Battleship. And you mentioned the Game of Life. It's just funny. It's just funny. These things, they're classics. They never get old.
I hear you.
Lots of board games.
Yep. And, by the way, I knew I forgot one tweet I wanted to mention. The Nice Bot tweeted at us.
Oh, yes.
Back on March 10th, we had a very nice tweet to our games@work_biz Twitter account that the world is lucky to have someone like you. And you told me, yeah, the Nice Bot tweets at everyone. And I said, but not me.
It just hasn't gotten to your name yet.
So we're trying your to handle. Figure out the algorithm, right? Right? We got to figure it out. Because if it's already gotten to you, right? And my account's older than yours.
And but yours starts with M, right? So maybe
yes,
yours.
Yes, but okay, but so yours... but Games at Work starts with G. And if it was after Innovate Game, which starts with I, what the heck's the algorithm?
I'm going to write to the Nice Bot and have him directly email you so you don't feel
No. I want to feel like that. Well, I've actually played a new game recently, and it's embarrassing.
Let's hear it.
So I was watching old episodes of Futurama. Right?
I remember that show.
It was a fun show. I like Futurama.
Yeah.
I was like, they've got to have a Futurama game. Right? They got to have a Futurama iOS game. So I did a search. I found a game. I installed it.
How terrible was it?
So I'll put a link in the show notes. It's available on iOS and on on Android. So it's cross-platform. And it's got to be basically Bejeweled with a Futurama theme.
No. Is this the what is the worst game you've ever played?
So far, probably the Futurama game.
Oh, my God.
But it's so mindless. It's kind of fun.
I think the worst game that I ever played, I actually had to do a review of it, and it was The Ring of the Nibelungen. It was an old game, and they played music from the Valkyries constantly in the game, and I thought I was going to die.
What platform was it on?
I think it was a PC game, but it was just – it was awful. Michael, trust me, it was awful, awful, awful.
I love the opera.
I like opera, but I don't like it in a video game where it's constantly repeating, and especially not that. I didn't like it. I didn't like that music. Blah.
Okay, now I've got to look it up. You got to send me a review.
Yeah, you
got to
look it up
con.
Because opera plus video games and so repetitive. Just the music alone was driving me crazy.
Game Ring, maybe? Is that called it? No.
The Ring of the Nibelungen. It's an old. It was
like
this was
99?
From a year ago. This was from years ago.
You got to send me the review that you did.
Okay,
you've got to send it to me.
We're gonna, I will.
If it's online, we're going to post it into the show notes.
Okay.
Because I'm going to have to play it now. I'm going to have to play it. Was it a Windows game from 1998?
Probably. It was probably the late 90s. That sounds about right. But that was the worst. It was the worst.
It was released June 30th, 1999, Ring, The Legend of the Nibelungen.
That
for
game.
Windows.
Oh, God.
It's an interactive science fiction opera adventure, 3D adventure set in the 40th century, follows the Richard Wagner epic story arc.
No.
This isn't it?
No.
I won't tell you the title of the one forum post on it. Because it's not safe for our podcast reading.
I'm not surprised.
Well, if do you still have the game?
Heck no. I think I burned it in a bonfire.
There's a whole hint site for it.
Oh my God.
Is the hint delete it from your machine?
Gone. Anyway, it made a mark in my memory.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, we are out of time. Phaedra, it is great to have you back. I know it's in the middle of the high holy season of conferences.
High holy season. Exactly. But I do have time to play Battleship. That's it.
Yeah, that's right. You got to set your priorities. And we are missing our co-host, Michael, who is in his yearly, what should we call it? Basketball retreat, march on the NCAA tournament.
Hope you're having fun, Michael.
Yeah. And we will be back hopefully next week with more exciting gamesatwork.biz. We want your feedback. We want your ratings. Do me a favor. Go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and then type in a review about the worst video game you've ever played. Because the video game, the actual text of the review won't make any difference. But the star rating will help us get new listeners so that we can expand the topics that we talk about and help you.
Guys, have a great day. Thanks for listening to the show.
See ya.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network, and would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at GamesAtWork_biz or at our website at GamesAtWork.biz.